Shulamite woman tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4. If I put some glasses on, I might be able to find it myself. Okay. We're going to do verses 8 through 37, so I'm going to ask everybody just to take a little piece of it, because I don't need to hear myself read, but I'd like for you all to get the gist of this story. It's a familiar story to us, those of us who've been around church for a while. So how about 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 37. And I use that word. I'm not pastor, so I want us to discuss. How deep are your roots? When you read the story of the Shulamite woman, the first thing that hits me, and maybe it's not what hits you, is faith. You have an undying, unwavering faith. Most of us are mothers in here. If your child was laying dead on a bed, would you pick up, pack up, and go someplace else? Or would you be rolling around on the ground like the nut that I think I would be? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the love of a mother, of course. But this woman was calm because she knew where her faith lied. She knew God held all the answers. I was listening to Joel Osteen the other day. One of my favorites, and he was telling the story of he was telling a story about when an oak tree had fallen in his yard. He said it was a storm of no notoriety. It wasn't a hurricane. It wasn't anything devastating, but some strong winds, and a big huge oak tree had fallen over in his yard. So while the workmen were there, he commented, "Wow, how's a tree this big fall over for such little winds? It wasn't a hurricane." The workman commented that while the oak has a complex set of roots, their roots only go down about 12 inches into the ground. So when we see it, we think it's beautiful, but it's shallow. It's very, very shallow. And with the big rain that they had, the ground was soaked and saturated. So when it was time for that tree to grab on, it had nothing to grab on to with. You understand? But he said, "Well, I have some pine trees over there. I hope the same thing doesn't happen to these pine trees." He said, "No, a pine tree is different. Its roots are deep, down, anchored." And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. How deep are your roots? Wind and rain is going to come in each of our lives, one way or the other, whether it's a child acting the fool, health issues, a job loss, finances decrease. I think we've all pretty much can safely say we've all been there. If you haven't, hold on and live long enough, because it's coming. It's coming. How deep are your roots? Are you a surface Christian? Are you a Christian that comes to church Sunday, and Monday morning your whole world falls apart? Sunday, you hallelujah, falling down, amen, thank you, Lord. And Monday morning, your lights get turned off, and it's the end of your world. How deep your roots are depends on how you weather a storm. I heard another minister, and I can't think of his name at the moment, remark. If he took a ride with someone in rush hour traffic, after the first horn blows, he could tell you what kind of Christian that person was. I don't know if I'm quite that harsh on people, but, sometimes you have a bad day and the Lord allows us to take a step back and, "Lord, forgive me." But it does say to where your roots are. Because if you can easily let explicitness fly because somebody blew a horn, well, maybe you need to go back and check your root system. First, the Shulamite woman, she started by honoring the man of God. She made provision for him. That meant he was someone of importance to her. She described Elisha as a holy man. That means that he was set apart. She perceived he was set apart for the ministry of God. She made special quarters for him in the upper room. Well, we've heard the upper room used in other terms. But the upper room usually is on the top of a house. It's built on top of the very top of the house, and the access is from the outside to allow for privacy. So she took care in how she prepared for this man of God. She didn't just give him a room, and she took care in how she honored God. And we should do that ourselves every day. How we deal with pastor, we should honor the man of God. How we handle, pastor said numerous times to us, how we handle communion is how you honor God. How deep are your roots? Is it just form and fashion? Is it just show? Or are you really looking? Are you really looking for an intimate relationship with God? The woman realized that Elisha was a chosen servant of God, and she was especially concerned with the measure of the hospitality be adhered to the fullest. Now, we discussed hospitality the last time I stood before you, and I hope you remember some of that and took some notes of it. But that's entertaining an angel unaware. That's entertaining somebody special. I'm sure during his stay, Elisha's stay with the lady and her husband, the Shulamite woman and her husband, I'm sure time and time again they've had conversations and they talked and over meals or whatever it was. But the word tells us that this was a woman of notability. She was a wealthy woman. She didn't need anything. She wasn't doing this to be seen. She wasn't doing this for notoriety. She was doing this because she felt, she believed, that what she saw in this man was the living God. Elisha wanted to bestow a blessing on her for her kindness. What can I do for you? Well, she had money. She had position. She didn't need those things. What she longed for but dare not whisper was a son. She had accepted that God had just said, no, that's not going to happen. Well, we know the story. Elijah whispered the blessing. And a year later, she became a mother. This story is almost a mirror of his master when he was a servant, Elijah, and the widow of Zarephath. Ooh, that's a tongue twister. And that story is 1 Kings 17, verse 17 through 24. The widow was a woman of great belief. She lived in a foreign land, and the land had a hard famine hit. She had a little bit of meal left in a barrel. She was about to make her last loaf or cake, and she and her son were going to eat that, and they were ready to die. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 through 24. God sent Elijah through that land, and he challenged her faith. Now, if you knew this was the last cup of flour you had, and here comes a man walking in your house saying, make me a loaf of cake, and you hope that he's right, where is your faith? Could you do it? He tested her faith, and because of her faith, he blessed her. He told her her meal would never run out, her oil would never run out. This woman had a similar thing happen to her. Her son fell deathly ill. And during her time of grief, while she was still a woman of great faith, she asked Elijah, did you do this to make me remember my sins, to punish me for my sin? Did you kill my son? Is that the purpose you came into this house? She was almost accusatory to Elijah. Same thing. Give me your son. And he took him to the upper room. That once there, he cried out to the Lord. Again, in studying the scriptures, crying and being heard is a heard, a calling or being answered is emphasized to show intimacy or a fellowship communication with God. Have you ever been down to your last and all you can do is cry, Jesus? That's an intimate relationship. What is the movie? And I know everybody knows it. Is it called The Shack? It's where the man's daughter is killed, and I think it's called The Shack. I think that's the name of the movie. It's called The Shack. In the movie, his wife, she doesn't say Our Father or Heavenly Father. She calls him Papa or Daddy, something of that nature. And it denotes an intimate relationship. I don't know if I could be quite that callous with God, but I mean, you know, to me, it has to be Heavenly Father or Dear God or something. But for her, it showed an intimate relationship with God. When the child was awakened, the widow's belief had grown to its fullest. Twice he had shown her who he is. He made provision for her. He brought her child back from the dead. Twice God had shown her who he was. She thought she and her son were about to eat that last cake and die. Her child lay dead in her arms, and God brought him back to life. Truly, Elisha was a man of God. Her exact words in verse 24 are, I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Now, both of these stories might seem a little foreign to us because we have to remember that both of these stories take place Old Testament. So it is prior to the time when we can fall on our face and go to God ourselves. The only way they can go to God or their belief is that they go through a prophet or a rabbi. And in doing that, they honor God. Let's go back to the Shulamite woman. She brought the child and placed him on the bed of the man of God. This speaks of her faith. Despite her great sorrow, she took care. The fate of her child rests in her faith. She could have fallen next to the bed and wailed, like I told you most of us would have been doing, and you just, you know, it would have been a done deal. But that wasn't what she did. Oh, great prophet, I need your help. She didn't fall apart sobbing. She responded instead, it is well. That's great faith to say, it is well. We all know the popular hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And if you know the backstory for that song, that particular hymn, it was written by a man who had lost everything, his business, his family, his children, and he took a boat ride, and just as they crossed the place where the children and his wife lost their life, the captain let him know, and he penned, It Is Well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, no matter the cost, I'm going to say, it is well with my soul. It takes great faith to do that. The word through and through tells us Elijah was a man of great faith. His master Elijah, in this verse, we see that the woman caught Elisha by his feet. I had such a problem flipping back between Elisha and Elijah. I had to keep reading it because I was typing and it was coming out all kinds of ways. But she fell at his feet. This was an action of humility, of reverence. She felt that the mantle of God rests with Elisha. She questioned Elijah even. I didn't ask you for this blessing. I didn't want it. I was fine not being a mother. I had accepted. So she kind of mirrors the woman, the widow in 1 Kings. Why is this happening to me? And we as people, we do. We ask that constantly. Why is this happening to me? When we receive God, he never promised that there wouldn't be rain in your life. Not once. And that's probably one of the biggest pitfalls for people, new believers, because they think all of a sudden, they feel and believe all of a sudden, my world is going to become rosy. And that's not what, if anything, it might get worse, because now the devil is mad. He is, as my father used to say, he's blood-fied mad. Don't ask me, I don't know, I couldn't tell you what exactly that phrase meant, but that meant you were hopping mad for him. Elisha had great faith, not because we read in the Bible and we know that he was a prophet, but we show that he sent his staff ahead with his servant. He knew he didn't have to be there for this to happen. It wasn't about him. If God was going to do it, then he would have done it with the staff. But this required Elisha to make the journey. Elijah's faith transcended symbols and rituals. He sought God who could perform this miracle because he knew the power of life and death were only with God. There's a very familiar song, and most of us are, I guess, of that age. I don't think I see any young people in the room. But James Cleveland used to do a great song called Where Is Your Faith? I think most people's moms played it while you clean the house on Sunday morning or whatever. And it just tells you, so you're out of work. And the Christian says, tell me about it. Oh, and he moans and complains. And then he comes back, where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? How deep are your roots? If the least little thing throws you off your game and you lose your mind and the Bible goes that way and you go that way, how deep are your roots? Only through the word, prayer, fasting, and meditation do you root yourself in the word of God. The word tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's another popular song, and you know I kind of like music, Only What You Do for Christ Will Last. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth. You were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. I want to explore three ways to deepen your faith. The first is to read and study God's word. 2 Timothy, very famous passage. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. This verse tells us that we study God's word for ourselves. God's word has to get down inside of us. Yes, we should be in church. Yes, we should sit in under a pastor that preaches and teaches, and we are blessed because we have that here. But what happens when you pick up the phone and pastor doesn't answer? What happens when you call Minister JC? He can't answer either. You have to be anchored in the Lord for yourself. How deep are your roots? God wants us to have strong, sturdy roots, like that pine tree I talked about earlier, anchored so we can hold on in a storm. As I already said, we are truly blessed because Pastor, he is masterful at preaching. Pastor's sermon for me paints a picture. He uses brush strokes and the word comes to life when he preaches. I had guests come and heard people say over and over again how much they enjoy the way he preaches. Deacon Todd often paraphrases 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show you are a letter from Christ. The result of your ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the tables of human heart. Proverbs 7 and 3 says pretty much the same thing. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. Reading the word is good. It's a good thing. But studying the word brings a whole different kind of joy. When you let it get down on the inside, sometimes for me the word comes alive while I'm reading. It reads like a novel. I imagine the Shulamite woman, and I imagine Elisha, and I imagine her desperate race across to Mount Carmel to get to the man of God. I see that unfold like a movie for me when I'm reading it. And the word should come alive for you. That's where you find the joy in the word, however it comes alive for you. The second thing I want to address is prayer. Prayer, simply put, is an honest conversation with God. Certainly there are formal ways to talk to God, and we have invocation. But our Father is a loving parent. And those of us who have grown and half-grown and think they're grown kids, we love to hear from our kids, even if they don't live in our house anymore. Same applies to God. Even though he already knows it all, he still likes to know that Lillian took time today to talk to him. And a side note while I'm on that, in your private time of prayer, make time for silence. Because if the entire time you're talking, you can't hear what God has to say to you. So I invite you to try that. It's that small, still voice on the wind that you're not sure you heard. That's God talking to you. Scripture tells us we should pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. This is the confidence we have in approaching, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It didn't say he would give it to us. It said he hears us. Again, you heard me say that time and time again, one of the other big issues with people, especially new converts, they think all of a sudden they have a sugar daddy, and that's not what God is. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves. Not when you find time, but devote yourselves. The definition of devote is to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to an activity. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Didn't I just tell you, take a moment to be, there you go. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Didn't I say? Take a minute and let him talk to you. And the third thing I want to address is meditation. The definition of meditation, think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time in silence, or if you want to chant, Jesus, Jesus. But are you thinking on the master? Not thinking about, I got to stop by ShopRite on my way home. Oh, I got to get that Thanksgiving turkey. I need to spend $70 more. But are you really thinking deeply and carefully about God? How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a firm tree. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And if its leaves do not wither, and its leaves do not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. And ladies, these are all scriptures I can give them to you later on. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It is so easy to get caught up in life today because there is so much going on. We as human beings need time to refresh physically, mentally, emotionally. I don't know about you, but I can't always pick up, pack up, and go to Bermuda or the Bahamas or, I don't know, whatever the place is, go show you. I don't even know, so I can't go. Not to mention, have you ever just sat down and thought on what God has done for you? That meditation alone, you should be running around this church. You know, some of us are on Facebook or whatever, you know, and I think it's called Yes, I'm a Diva, and it comes up every morning. I woke up this morning, I'm blessed, I'm happy, and I'm praising the Lord. That's enough. There's a song, again, if the Lord never does anything else for me, he's done enough. And I've had people say, what? I got a list I want him to do for me. He woke you up this morning. He sent his son to die on Calvary for you when he didn't have to. He made provision for you. That's enough. It's good news to me because I could be, when I close my eyes, I could be dead and gone. But now I have the promise of salvation and to dine with him forever. Amen. Excuse me. These three ingredients basically add up to daily devotion. However you do that. Some people like 4 a.m., some people like 8 o'clock at night. But daily devotion, that helps deepen your roots. That's watering the tree. And if you don't do that, eventually the tree is going to die. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. When you invest time in daily devotion, you will find you begin to decrease. And the things that used to get you off kilter, they just don't matter anymore. Because your faith and your trust is in God. And you realize sooner or later, you know what, it doesn't matter how I feel about that. Because God already got it. I don't need for me to pace the floor all night. God already know how this is going to work out. And it's going to work out for my good. Even if I may not think so at that moment, right, it's still going to work out for my good. I encourage you to form an intimate relationship with God. These steps help you nurture your relationship. Like I said before, imagine if you only eat once a week on Sunday when you come and hear Pastor. Better yet, imagine if you only feed your child once a week. It won't be long before DIFAS or DHS or whoever it is, depending on where you live, will be knocking at your door. Because that child is not thriving, and he might have passed away already. Same thing applies to us. If we're not feeding our spiritual man, he's withering. Once a week is not going to do it. We have to put in some work. I invite you, better yet, I challenge you, as we begin to close out this year and as we begin to bring on a new year, to develop an intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yes, intimate. It's personal. Because the God I know is not the God Lillian knows. The God I know is not the God Deacon Todd knows. You have to know and find God for yourself. Both of these women were women of God. It said they were righteous. They were women of faith. But these events in their lives brought them to an intimacy with God. It made it crystal clear. This is God. He has it all in his hand, and he really don't need my help because I'm probably going to mess it up if I do. I'm just saying. The other side of it is when you develop an intimate relationship with God, you don't need to run to anybody else. You don't need to call Aunt Sadie. You don't need to go get that bottle of red wine as you're on your way home. You know to go down in prayer and go on and go to sleep. God got the rest of it. However it worked, God got the rest of it. And when those roots begin to grow and begin to dig and dig and dig and dig deeper into the foundation, you can say, it is well. However it turns out, it is well. God doesn't need us. We need him. And too often we think, we treat him as though he needs us. And that's not the case. He sent his son, he died, he sent his son to die on Calvary. 3 days later, he raised him up with all power. Not this much. Not some, all power in heaven and earth in his hand. The definition of intimate, a close acquaintance, familiar. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Not some, all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When the storms of life come, you may bend. We do. We're only human. That's why he allows us to make U-turns, repent, Lord, forgive me. But if you are deeply rooted and anchored in God's word, you won't break. I had a great picture I wanted Reverend J.C. to put up, and I couldn't find it earlier to email it to him. But it was a huge tree, probably something like an oak tree, and it had completely fallen over and was laying on its side. But the branches and the leaves were still growing up. It was beautiful and green, even though it was laying on its side, because its roots had found a way to dig deep down. Like the Shulamite woman and the widow, countless others throughout the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, learned about the living God through an intimate and close relationship with him. How deep are your roots? We got out 15 minutes early. Shh, nobody tell Pastor, because he'll try to take them next week. But does anyone have anything to say? Any